When you've got beautiful orchestra of birds to serenade you into another beautiful episode of Slimming World Podcast. Mm-hmm. How cheesy was that introduction?
Well done.
Do you remember our first episode where we were like, don't know what to say?
Oh my God, we were so nervous. Well, I was, because you're like professional, and I was like, I don't know how to say it. And I just thought, oh God, just be yourself. Just let the rubbish pour out.
Oh my God. Yeah, this is why Anna doesn't edit the podcast. I edit the podcast.
I'm the brains.
I don't have to edit you too much, actually.
Don't you? Is it better now?
I think we like to keep our podcast pretty raw, don't we, actually?
Yeah, I like real me.
I mean, I left the sneeze in the last episode.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
It's like me as a Slimming World consultant. Like, you come into my groups. What did I say yesterday or the day before?
someone had been to do... So in case you are new to the podcast, hello, by the way. So I am a member and Anna is my consultant, but we are friends as well. And, well, I think I am anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
I'll
thanks.
Be your 4
Just
a.m.
checking. Thanks for checking. I mean, we're Facebook friends, but I'm not sure if that's real. Anyway, so yesterday in weigh-in, someone was saying how they've been doing jewellery service. It's great because they got to be from home, they can cook all their meals. And Anna went, oh, that sounds great. I wonder if you could be a professional juror. And I went, yeah, Anna, that's called a judge.
I've never been so embarrassed in group. Like when I swore so badly in group when I was pregnant, it just came out. I wanted the world to open up and swallow me. It really...
No, there is no filter with you, is there? Well, it's a summer day and... You know, after last week's episode, we decided to continue walking and talking, and the rain cleared a little, and the birds came out, which is always a beautiful moment, isn't it? Isn't that like, you know, when things are great, and it's probably just the type of weather that you'd really want for a
wedding.
Exactly.
Do you know, I had two weddings.
Yeah, so what's about? So Anna's married, I'm not. Let's see your ring.
Oh, so
you got two, right?
Yeah, engagement wedding.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah,
so
this was my grandma.
Depends what the situation
this
was.
This is my grandma. She left it to me when she died. And then my hubby, my best friend was a diamond buyer at the time, and he went and did all my engagement ring behind my back, and it's two people intertwined. It's very cute, isn't it? But yeah, I had two weddings because we were meant to get married in New York, but my dad was a double amputee and lost his second leg just as we were planning the wedding, so we knew we couldn't fly. So we had one wedding in the Lakes and then one wedding in New York, but both weddings poured with rain.
Really?
Yeah, so our wedding in
what
New York.
What time of year?
May.
Yeah.
Our wedding in New York was an electric thunderstorm.
Wow.
In Central Park, and I had my beautiful wedding dress, and the guy who was doing the rubbish had some clear rubbish bags. So over the top of my wedding dress, I had a clear rubbish bag to get married.
Aww.
And a big red umbrella. My wedding dress was black by the end of the day. So, yeah, but it's apparently very good luck to get married in the rain. But legally...
Sparks. There were sparks in the air.
Yeah. Legally, in this country, you can't get married outside if it's raining. So we were getting married under
what?
Gazebo. In case any rain falls on the documents, means they're null and void.
You are kidding
I know,
me.
I didn't believe it. So the registrar came to me and said, we're going to have to pull your wedding inside unless you put it back 5 minutes. So we waited. We got... Because it only takes 12 minutes to get married. We had the window of 12
wow.
minutes and then went back in from the rain. Brilliant. But yeah, I didn't know. Null and void. There you go.
Wow.
You've learned something new there.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So that's why you've got to have a... If you have an umbrella, is that okay?
No. Because we were under
it's
a structure.
Cover.
No, we were under a gazebo, like a wooden... Not a wooden, a brick
Hook.
Gazebo.
Shed?
It's beautiful on the lake. But yeah, no, because it's not encased, rain could still get in.
Wow.
And do you know, they come and check that you actually want to get married just before you do. And I was... crying so much with excitement. My dad had just started to walk on his legs. He'd seen me. I was hyperventilating. I was sobbing. He was like, it's okay. The registrar, you don't have to go through with this. We can stop the wedding. I was like, no, I'm just so happy.
Really?
Yeah. It's mad. Being married is the best thing. It really is.
I mean, I thought that by the time I reached 35, which I am, I thought I would be married. I have to be honest. I thought I would have nailed that one. And it makes me sad thinking about it. When I turned 30, I thought, a small part of me felt, what have you got to show for your life so far? And part of me felt like a failure because I wasn't married,
really?
Actually. Yeah, I really struggled with that. But hey, plenty of time.
Do you know what?
I've
got the other side. I met Phil when I was 19. So like, I've lived my growing up life with him. So I sometimes think like, did we settle down too young? Like, I think wherever you're at, you always go, oh God, should I have done it differently? Whatever. Like,
should have, would have, yeah.
Yeah. And do you know what? While being married is amazing, look where you're at. Like, Sometimes I think I'd love to be as free as you are. I'm tied down with two dogs, a kid and a hubby. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. A family car. We always want what we don't want.
Hey, one of my things at the moment is just to learn to be content.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Seriously.
This is my dealing, and I enjoy my time. I make sure I make the most of that. It's the hope, I think, sometimes, because then when you meet someone new and then you start a new relationship and you hope that this is going to be the one,
yeah.
And then when it isn't, and now I'm at the point where I'm starting to see my ex-boyfriends are starting to marry, and it's a bit like, oh, God.
You haven't met the right one yet.
Yeah, I know.
You really haven't, and I truly believe that of anyone. I was lucky, I met my soulmate at 19, and you may just be having it later in life because you just had to party. That was your path.
Maybe I've got to get to Target first, anyway.
No.
Right.
Look how smoking you look.
Thanks, baby.
Right, should we go back? We've just had a story about my engagement ring, my weddings, and you feeling a bit sad about me and marriage. Should we get back to some food?
So the idea of shredding for a wedding, the subject of this, is that actually, even if you're not getting married this summer, chances are you might be going to a wedding or some kind of do where you're thinking,
yes.
Oh, God, I've got to buy a new dress. What if I don't fit into that dress? Or there's going to be some kind of motivator. It's summer. You've got to get hot for summer. Get the old bingo wings out.
And for the lads, we've got quite a few lads in my group who are talking about their shirts trousers and their shorts and all of that. And actually, I had never recognised that, maybe in a little naive way. But I think Phil was talking about it, my hubby, the other day. He's like, Anna, I don't feel good in my shorts and my tight T-shirts like I used to. I need to really lose some weight. And I never realised the pressure for men with fashion. I always thought it was girls, but so there, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Really is. So these are our top tips, aren't they? Are they?
Yeah. What was the period between you getting engaged and you getting married?
3 years.
Okay.
Yeah, because we got engaged.
Was that 3 years of your head going, I've got to look great in this dress, I've got to look great in this dress?
No, because I was almost at my skinniest then, because we got engaged and then I became a slimming world consultant and then was having the spinal surgery. So my BMI, we got engaged in the April, I had my spinal surgery in the October, so my BMI had to be 23, so I was tiny for the spinal surgery. And for the wedding, yeah, the lightest I think I've ever been. There was almost no pressure for my wedding. I felt more pressure for my hen do. Isn't that mad?
Why?
Hen do's have become something else now. Like, I didn't have like four. I like the abroad ones and all of that. But I had bought a bodycon dress. I'd never worn a bodycon dress in my life, but I really wanted one of those like band. They were really in fashion.
Yeah.
You know, those bandage ones. And I just remember thinking, oh my God, I want to look hot for this day more than my wedding day. Because the wedding day was more like classic, vintage, lace up to here. But the bodycon dress was showing everything I had to offer. So that was something I was really, really like aiming for. Got in it. Only one pair of Spanx. I had two on my wedding day, you see. That's another story.
Yeah.
That was the pressure I was feeling, was like the hen do's. And I know a lot of my members are talking about, they've got hen do's abroad. They've got all these kind of crazy hen do's that they want to get in their tiny, tiny beach wear that they're all matching. Seems like a phase at the moment of being like tiny bikinis that all say the same thing. And yeah, I think that's another pressure that people are feeling. I don't know. Have you noticed that? Have you got any people getting married or henning?
No. Not this year, actually.
Yeah, we haven't got any this year.
No. It's weird, isn't it? Because I think in my head, right, I have like this kind of fantasy, and it is a fantasy that when I get married, let's talk positive affirmation
it's
language,
gonna happen,
right?
Yeah, when you get married.
I don't really want a big wedding like dress and church. I actually just want me and him to go away.
Love that.
On an island.
Yes.
And to like get married in my bikini or something, right?
Do it.
But then that in itself is like pressure to like look hot in a bikini, which no one ever can freaking do. What angles do you do for a good bikini photo?
I think the thing about getting married, and this is where we both got to, is it has to be about you. We paid for our own weddings. Our parents didn't contribute at all. We didn't want them to because we wanted full control. And we had the days that we wanted and did the things that we wanted to do for that very reason. So I think whether it's a big party, a little bikini, somewhere in Vegas, it's about you feeling confident in your own skin, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
You know, I had three wedding dresses, but only wore two because one of the wedding dresses went so wrong. I looked like, I'm going to show you a picture of it. What did my brother say? I looked like a sausage roll that had been put in a toilet roll holder.
And you were at the skinniest here.
It was horrendous. It was. I had Hang a Vera.
Don't say that again. Sausage roll.
Put in
a
toilet roll holder. It was a Vera Wang copy. That's all I'm going to say. Yeah. Vera Wang would have been so upset to have ever been related to it. So yeah, the pressure, I think, for a lot of people is in different guises. It's the bride herself, but then there's the groom. Like, my hubby was the lightest he'd ever been. He had the most fitted suit, the fitted shirt, the everything. He felt amazing, and he's like, we got married and then I just let it go. And yeah, I think there's that pressure as well, like, I've got to be this thing for the day that isn't attainable. But also being a guest at a wedding is quite tough, isn't it?
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes.
Because you've got to, you feel like...
You want to look hot, but you don't want to overdo it.
Yeah.
And if you're single, it's a hotbed of...
Well, I was going to say, what's the perspective?
Potential.
Is that the thing? Is it like, let's get nailed at a wedding? I didn't mean it, let's get nailed. Can you edit that out?
No, I'm leaving that in. I'm leaving that rawness
right in. I didn't mean
like
in a sexual way. I meant like,
she went there, people. She went there. She went there.
Because there is that whole thing about the bridesmaids and the thing, the ushers. And
you're
there.
So naive, yeah, aren't you? You have never had to deal with any of this.
No.
Getting with someone at 19, you've never had to go down this online dating.
No.
This hope and then it being destroyed.
Oh,
this,
God.
Oh my God, I'm going to a wedding. Will I meet the man of my dreams whilst I'm feeling really emotional wishing it was me?
Oh, no.
And then I pin all my dreams on this random hot guy that I've just met at a wedding reception, which clearly isn't going to work, but I'm just feeling in the mood at that particular time. And then it phases out and you lose hope and then you go back to the drawing board and before you know it, you look like Bridget Jones' Diary on a sofa crying to yourself, singing Celine Dion, right? That's basically my life again and again and again.
Yeah, but then
thanks
there's
for
the
reminding me of that.
Then there's the married side, isn't there, where you're like, oh, my friends are free and single and partying and no ties and I'm here and I'm married in my big knickers with a kid going all over me. Do you know what I mean? So we both got it.
Oh, dear.
You know, but no, I've never had to tax. So what is the thing? Is it like, is a wedding a hotbed of love for you?
No.
Oh.
No, it's different. And it's different now because also I'm not drinking. So yeah, it's like, actually... And you kind of see weddings through a very different set of eyes.
Yeah.
There's a lot more pressure, actually. You know what? If you don't want to eat crap loads of cake, if you don't want to get smashed and you are on your own and you don't have that person sat next to you to look over when it gets a bit emotional going, isn't this lovely? I'm so glad I've got you. It's awful. So, anyway, right, before I get really depressed...
Oh, Claire, I feel so sad. I'm upset. And you've got the most amazing life, but you're making yourself sound like you're desolate and sat on a table on your own rocking in the corner.
I'm not, honestly. I'm not. But, right, okay, tips. The thing that I often can see from an outsider point of view, right, someone who hasn't got married, is the bridezilla effect and how some people can really, it obviously must be great having something to work towards. There is an end goal, and often what I feel sometimes lost about doing, you know, going through this journey, doing it for myself, is that I don't have a physical date that I must do this by.
But I
now
think
you put the wedding and you put there, but then you could just rush, lose all the weight, and then what happens afterwards?
Crashing
you haven't them. Really created the habit. So how do you find that balance when you are working towards a wedding? To lose the weight, but make sure you do it sensibly that it can hopefully stay off.
So I've got a lot of brides. In my time, I must have had 100, 150 brides, easy.
How many of them come back after the wedding?
So this is the thing. I've got much better at helping them, I think. I think in my early days as a Slim and Well consultant, I didn't clock that very thing that you were saying. And now... I really make a point of, this isn't slimming for the wedding, this is slimming for life type thing. She's smirking at me. Because I've had many, many members who go and gain 4 stone within 6 months, you know, and they've almost, it's about being realistic about your wedding day. I think a lot of people create this caricature of a bride, like, I've got to be a size 8 and I've got to do this. It's actually, why am I doing this in the long term? So again, it's your consultant and the members around you catching out that, actually, you're doing things that aren't habits. You're doing crash dieting, aren't you? Because I think there's the capability with like SP and stuff for people to go mental. So I think it's really recognizing, actually, are you just doing something short and sharp or are you doing something sustainable? So I always try and clock that. Also, I'm not a big fan of goals like that. Does that make sense? Mm. I'm a big fan of doing it for you. And although sometimes that can feel really hard because you've not got an aim, you're going to make those grooves that are much more long-lasting because it's for you, it's not for the dress.
It's easy to go wrong, though, because sometimes, actually, if you do feel a bit low in confidence or low self-esteem, you can kind of talk yourself out of doing it for you, whereas when there's a physical date and a goal and a deadline...
You can go west. See, I don't work good for deadlines. Every time I've tried to lose weight for a holiday, I end up getting bigger. So it's the pressure. I think it depends on the personality type. So you've really got to recognise that. Are you a person that's goal-driven, that needs that, that has that aim? Right. Whereas I'm not. I am goal-driven in work life and stuff, but not in my weight. Whereas you put pressure on me, I'll go and gain 3 pounds. If I say, right, I'm just going to go and aim to do this change, I will lose weight far more effectively. So I think it's spotting what you work towards better with. Like I've got quite a few people in group at the moment who are aiming weight loss awards, but they won't entertain that at the moment because it's too much pressure. So just keeping going, if they get the award, it's fine. So I think it's just about knowing yourself a little better in that way. And you only know that when you've tried it, don't you? And you've seen, okay, I fail when that happens, or I'm really successful when that happens.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So when people are preparing for a wedding, because there's this thing about, oh, you know, I've got to go back and try the dress or get the dress fitted and things like this. How can you kind of know whether you're being realistic or not?
I meet a lot of brides that come in and have bought a dress two sizes too small, right? It's entirely up to you. And again, if you work in that pressure, brilliant. For me, I had my dresses made just because that's how it went. But I would have been the person that would have bought it two sizes bigger and then had it taken in, because actually I had much more flexibility in my mind then not to go west. Whereas if I'd got the dress and it wouldn't have fitted, then I would have been brokenhearted. So I think it again goes back to personality type, what works better for you. Are you the person that's better with a really tight aim, or like me, okay, this is where I'd like to be. If I get there, fabulous.
So as someone who's been a consultant for a long time, what advice do you give, because we know that other consultants listen to this, what advice do you give to them in kind of spotting the signs for as members come through?
When you're a consultant, you see warning bells, you see things that people say and things that you hear that will draw you to think, oh, your corset's too tight right now, you're not doing something that you're going to be able to sustain. And as any consultant listening hopefully will tell you, you spot that and then you're honest, aren't you? You're honest and you say, darling, I'm worried about you. I don't think that's going to work. But it's quite a hard job being a consultant in that space, because you want your bride or your groom to feel their very best, but you've also got to be very honest with them that what you feel they're doing isn't going to get them where they need to be. So, yeah. I think every consultant's got a different approach. I'm very, as you know, I'm very honest and I'm very straightforward and I can't beat around the bush. Do you know what I mean? I'm too clumsy for that. So I think it's just finding your way to be natural and talk to people, isn't it?
The other thing is, sometimes we put off these things. So like as a guest, you know, if we've got a big event coming up, and I know I've heard other members say this when I've been in group, where they're like, oh God, I know I've got to like try that shirt on, but I just don't want to because of fear of like disappointing myself that I'm not there yet or something. And, you know, even like, I don't know, go and get in a personal shopper or something, thinking, yeah, I do want to look really well. It's kind of like digging deep and facing whatever situation, facing the reality, I suppose, of actually where you are right now. But being kind to yourself, like actually, yeah, you have worked really hard. Go spend £100 on a dress.
Enjoy the journey. Do you know what I mean?
That phrase haunts me.
Does it?
Because it's not about the destination. It's about enjoying the journey.
But no, it really, really is. Because I'm about to be really serious, Claire. I've lost a lot of people in my life, young, who've died of cancer and stuff like that, and who have always said to me, enjoy every moment and seize the bits that you think you're hating, because you may never get that chance again. And I think what we're too desperate to do is fast forward to the end. Do you know? Like, as a mum of a young kid, I'm like, oh my God, I can't wait till she sleeps, I can't wait till she does that. And I'm there fast forwarding her little life, when actually I should be enjoying the fact that she's, you know, rubbing permanent marker into the white walls and stuff like that. And I think that's what we do as slimmers. We're so desperate to get in that bikini, get in that dress, get in that suit, that actually, be proud of the fact that you went from a size 22 to a size 16 and you're not wearing your knickers up to your nose. You know, embrace that. I'm a massive fan of personal shoppers. I was talking about this in group, because your style changes so much, doesn't it? Like, I used to wear swing dresses all the time because I've got like weight on my tummy but very skinny legs. So when I lost all my weight, I was like, what do I do
now? I
need
to show them.
Yeah, but what do I do? So going to a personal shopper, and loads of companies do it free. Most high street stores do it.
The thing that has happened to me is, I'm not really representing today, But
quite colour, dark today.
Colour. Yeah. I am. Yeah,
she says that. She's in black.
I know.
Your nails are very bright.
Yeah, yeah. I've started. What's happened in the last month? So I started buying colourful brogues, colourful dresses. My nails are neon pink right now.
Well, that's what I found with weight loss. I'd always had like the most like pink, pale pink, or a white tip nail, and now I'm about all the colour because it's like, notice me, hello. Yeah. You know what I mean?
I'm worth it, baby.
Yeah, whereas I used to buy like shoes and handbags because actually when you're really overweight, you can wear a pair of black leggings and a black swing dress and actually it's really boring, but you've got a really bright handbag and the bright shoes, and now I'm just about like, oh no, I'm going to wear colour. You know what I mean?
Well, because that was the thing that I did a couple of weeks ago. I had a few days off. I gave myself a bit of a break. Did I tell you, I told you about the, I accidentally booked a piece of grass instead
here.
Of a caravan.
You booked a piece of grass.
Yeah.
That was a bit silly. Your finest moment. It's like me, I've just bought a new house and didn't realise it didn't come with any floor, any tiles, any grass, any fences.
It's got a roof.
That's all it's got.
I think you might need a roof.
Yeah, totally.
It's outdoors. She ain't going camping, is she?
When you find out that you've signed up to a new house and it's got nothing in it.
Oh, aren't we growing up this year?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Anyway.
Too grown up.
So I went through all my wardrobe and I did the old, if you haven't watched Marie Kondo, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo on Netflix, or just Google Marie Kondo, and it's all about...
Sparking joy.
Spark joy. If you should only keep the things in your life that spark joy. And I tell you what, it has.
It works,
I was an absolute skeptic of this. I was like, oh, you know, poo off.
Poo off.
Whatever. That's a polite way of putting it. Folding my pants into tiny rectangles. I've got better things to be doing in my life. But clearly, after not failing and having a holiday by accidentally booking a piece of grass instead of somewhere to stay, I thought, well, I may as well stay home and fold my pants.
Can you come and fold my knickers, please?
Anyway, what I realised when I went through my pants and my
socks...
Did
they not spark joy?
No, there's quite a few that do spark joy. I was like, oh, there's some more colourful ones in here than I thought, but I've got so many.
Yes.
So many.
Do you know how many pairs of knickers I had when I sorted out my knicker drawer? 196.
Whoa.
But I had them in every guise. Do you know what? The ones that come up to your nose, the post-baby ones, the ones when you were young, free and single. Do you know what I mean? I've now got about 12 pairs and they're all Bridget Jones.
But what I also noticed is actually in the last week, it has been a joy to get dressed. It's been easy. I've been able to open the drawers and think, yeah, I have got 3 pairs of jeans that actually fit me. Yes, I have got 4 jackets that actually fit me. And it's very easy for me to select the colour.
Yeah.
And I have had
your
15
wardrobe.
LBDs.
Oh, my
right?
God.
I was like, why do I need 15?
I had 47 pairs of black leggings.
It's insane, isn't it? And half of them have
fast
got holes
fashion.
In.
Yeah.
Or crotch holes.
Oh,
the old crotch. Because I cycle in mine, you see.
Oh, you see. No, I just have big thighs. Yeah. And they would rub together. Not anymore. Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy, isn't it? It's honestly. But that really kind of...
What's this episode about? I've totally forgotten.
Weddings, clothes. Yeah.
Your knickers, my crotch. I'm so sorry.
Oh, God. Anyway, we can come and be guest speakers at your wedding
if
you want.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine? Master of Ceremonies.
Toastmasters.
Yeah. So my brother was our Master of Ceremonies, and he forgot to press play for the music for us to walk back down the aisle. My husband's never forgiven him for that.
We don't need music. I'll bring my ukulele.
Oh, my God.
Can you sing?
Yes.
Can you?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, no. Oh,
God. I'll be singing in the rain. And look, sunshine's coming out now. So.
So basically, our top tips are, if pressure works for you and a small goal, go for it. If it doesn't, don't buy the wedding dress that's 2 sizes too small. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Personal shopping, way forward. I did it with one of my gorgeous members, Kelly. She lost 4 stone. I took her out. I got wanged her. We spent £1,100 in 4 hours. We bought a whole new wardrobe. She's a new woman. So I'm always happy to help. You know, I'll come to Scotland and personal shop for you. I just set myself up for something, yeah. And also, I think being proud of where you are at the moment. And even if you are still on your journey and you're going to a wedding, go and buy something fabulous that you feel brilliant in.
Spark joy.
Spark joy. Go and get a free makeover at MAC or something and wear a bright red lippy that you wouldn't normally wear. Go and buy an amazing pair of shoes. Get a spray tan.
Hair colour.
Oh, yeah. Hair colour. Go and get a curly blow dry, boys. Do you know what I mean? I love a big hair, curly blow dry in the air. Like anything that's going to make you feel good about where you are.
Oh, aren't you good, eh?
But I'm really positive about that. Like actually, get up. I haven't got today, but every day try and get up, put my makeup on, feel as good as I possibly can. Because you don't know when you're going to get run over and you just want to look hot.
You know, it's funny. I met an 84-year-old last week, right? I was interviewing her for a different job that I was doing. And she said to me, you know, my husband died a few years ago, but every morning I get up And I go for a shower and I put my lippy on, I put my full face of makeup, and then I go and sit down and have my breakfast and I go for a walk every day. And she said, I hear people on the bus who say, oh, I can't wait to get home to put my pyjamas on and slob out. I just love, you know, wearing my onesie in the house. And she was like, no, you can't do that. You've got to get up and you've got to get yourself out, dust yourself off and you know, look like you mean business at every moment. Yeah. And I was like, that sounds exhausting, but I understand the sentiment.
So my dad was terminally ill for 3 and a bit years, but even when he couldn't speak after his stroke, he wanted his carers to shave him every day. He wanted a clean shirt on. He wanted his legs put on so that he could try and face the world, because he'd learned that that was putting on your mask to almost go forward.
Like it.
Yeah, love it. So, go and find your mask.
Yeah.
Find whatever makes you feel better about yourself, I think.
Yeah.
If it's folding your pants and sparking joy, let it be.
Have you ever tried folding a G-string?
Oh, babe, I've got a two-year-old. I ain't worn a G-string in years. Oh, no, they hurt too much. Do you want to see how high my knickers come, Claire?
Jesus. Look. I can't even see her nipples. And on that note, you can come and find us on Instagram, instagram.com/slimmingworldpodcast.
And you won't see my nipples there, I promise.
No. We do lives and we do stories and we do posts, and we would love to get more of your pictures as well. So if you are getting ready for a wedding, want to share some of those amazing photos as you go through, please make sure that you send us, because we love to shout about our community that we're building here through the podcast. So get in contact, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. as well.
Have a great day, guys.